3 Nephi chapter 9. In this chapter, the voice of the Lord comes to the people, and it's heard throughout the land. And it explains that what has went on was to purge the wicked. But it tells the rest that they need to repent. And in its explanation, in the Lord explaining the great purging, it explains wickedness. And it says the greatest wickedness is the secret combinations that destroy the government. And it's the desires for authority, power, and to control other people. This is what the devil stood for in the pre-existence. And again, it's repeated here by the Lord that's the greatest wickedness, and that wickedness is the seeking of power and dominion over others. And what always results, though, is anarchy finally results in the end. For those that do not realize it, that, again, they think that we're living in great prosperity. The Lord founded this country, and the people developed it based on free enterprise and freedom in government. And as they built this country, they built it on those principles. And what is going on right now, and has even for more than 100 years, has been the slow decay of that. But what they are able to do is they're writing what was previously built, or what was built on righteous principle. The wicked principle today is writing it down. And while it's writing it down, it's lying and saying that its principle was what built the country or what's keeping it great. When it's not, it's actually leading it to its destruction. It also said that the other great wickedness is the casting out of the prophets, and it even says slaying them. And what we can basically say, it's just rejecting prophets. And it's rejecting the Spirit of the Lord, or rejecting His Word. And this is one that we can see today too. If prophets came into the land that were not the leaders of the church, or which are administratively chosen, then the people could not accept it, because they are so focused on man. Well, then it does explain clearly in verse 13 that those that were spared were more, or the most righteous. And again, explaining that this was a purging. But he now tells them to repent and turn to the Lord. And then it says that in verse 13 that the Lord will heal you. Meaning that you come to Him. It doesn't mean that just because you have now accepted the Lord that you're healed. Obviously, it says that He said to repent, and then in His discourse to them, it explains more of what is required. But the point that's being set immediately in verse 13 is that He will heal you. Meaning you must turn yourself over to Him in order to allow Him to heal you. You don't understand what you need. You don't understand all your weaknesses. You don't understand what experiences you need to overcome those weaknesses. And so you need to turn to Him and follow Him and accept His experiences in order to grow and to be healed. Which, what are we healing? We're casting off or changing our character to make it of a perfect character to live with our Heavenly Father. Well, then he explains how we do that. Well, we have to come unto Him. And he says how to come unto Him in verse 20. It's with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. What does that mean, broken heart? It means that He offered you His love, and you did not receive His love. Now you recognize that you wanted His love. Just like you think about when you're in love with someone, and that is not returned. You would like to have that love, meaning you want that love. And that is real, and it's physical, and it's with the same strength that you would have if there were someone you loved in this life that you longed for. And so you must have that broken heart. And plus, when you come unto Him, you recognize that you haven't had His love, but you have wanted it. So in the beginning, the way we approach Him is that you have rejected Him and you haven't had that love, and it's just as strong as emotional feeling as you would if you're missing someone that you loved in this life, and so we can go on to try and explain that, but it is a real feeling. And second, it says contrite or a penitent spirit, meaning your spirit, you recognize your sin. So all this is talking about you coming to Him with a recognition of your miserable state. Remember, we've told that. When we come to this life, we choose sin, we have a miserable state, so you begin your repentance process, you recognize it. So you come unto Him recognizing your miserable state or your sinful things, and you recognize that you are not in a perfect state, and you want Him to change you. You are coming to Him, tell me what I need to do to change. And then in verse 22, it says that you come unto Him as a little child. It's explained, therefore, you're coming in when you have this contrite spirit, meaning that you recognize your miserable state and you want to have that changed, and now you want Him to heal you. Then you are willing to believe and do what He says. You believe that He knows best. He knows what He's doing, just like a child does with their parent. They believe fully that parent knows what they're doing no matter what. And so even when it doesn't seem correct to the child, children who are abused think that they have somehow done something wrong. That's how you go as a child, willing to say that you've done something wrong and you'll accept the punishment or terms or whatever it is that the Lord wants you to do. Well, then he goes on to say what happens after you do that. He really says that in verse 14, because he told you that these other words were explaining how to that He is going to heal you, and how you must come to Him in order to be healed. And then it says when you do this, back in verse 14, it says that when you come unto Me, I will receive you. So be of good faith and good cheer. That's your good tidings. I will receive you when you come. And when I receive you, it says that He will then bless those who come unto Him. Now, bless again in this term means that He'll progress you. When you keep His commandments, He immediately doth bless you. It doesn't, when you keep commandments, say, of tithing, then it gives you a promise later and you receive something. But that is not covering the immediate blessing. The immediate blessing is that when you have followed Him, you have immediately been progressed. And the meaning in most scripture of blessed is progressed. And He did that. He's the one that set all this up. He set the experience up. He gave you the commandments on what to do during those experiences. He created the opportunities. He did all of this. And now you are the one who actually progresses. And by progressing, then you may return to Him. And that is His joy. He then says in verse 17, though, as you do progress, your final progression state is you'll become the sons of God. So again, he's talking again in this context clearly about your progression and that you progress to become sons of God, which means that you can be with God and inherit the powers and things of your Heavenly Father. He then says in verse 20, that He will, after you've come to Him, and that He will baptize you with fire and with the Holy Ghost. Now notice it's He will. This is not the conferring of the Holy Ghost. He will do that. I would love to give you some commentary on that. I do not know what that means. I do feel that we need to keep our eye on it and wait to have the meaning of that reveal, but we know that the Lord will do this for us.